Well, good morning. Got the wireless mic up here today. It's a little soft last week, and now my voice is somewhat back. It's not going to be even louder. This morning, we're going to be talking about the church. And one aspect of the church in the Bible is the idea that every time the church is discussed, God chooses a very specific way to describe it. He talks about the church from different perspectives, different facets, and he utilizes different words to describe the church in order to allow us to get a different perspective on what the church is to do. For example, God often uses the idea or the word kingdom in describing the church because it wants to show us that we have a king, that we are subjects under a king. He uses the word church, literally means the called out ones, because we're to be shown as being different than the world that we're called out of to become Christians in his church. The church is also called the bride of Christ, and that's, of course, to show us the fact that we are belonging to someone else. We have someone who is like a husband to us over the church, who is Christ our King. And there is one very specific way we talk about the church that's very important for us this morning. And that's the idea of the body. We talk about the body of Christ often, and what we mean is the church. But we use that phrase, the body of Christ, because God utilizes that figure of speech to show us something about the church. Let's look over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 together. This is the kind of go-to passage to talk about the body of Christ being the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he, God, put all things under his, Christ, feet, and gave him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. That illustration of Christ being the head of his body, being the church, is often used in Scripture. If you look over in Ephesians chapter 5 together, verses 22 and following really deals with the husband and wife relationship. But to be able to illustrate the husband and wife relationship, God utilizes the illustration of Christ being the husband and the church being the wife. So here in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, like he was the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. So you have this parallel between the husband and wife and Christ and the church. And then here in verse 25 and really 27, that he, talking about Christ, might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. And here is the application for that principle. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. So Paul here, through inspiration, utilizes the illustration, husbands, you love your own selves, don't you? Well, love your wife the way that you love your own body, because that's how Christ loves his body, being the church. So again, all of this does is illustrate for us that one way to define and describe the church is like Christ's body, physically and spiritually. If you look over in our proof text this morning to kind of dive deeper into what we're talking about, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be here for most of the rest of our time together this morning. So you can kind of camp out here in chapter 12 and get that full context. Specifically, verses 12, really through the end of the chapter, is going to be our text for this morning. But I want to set up for you what the context shows us is being discussed in this section of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is a beautifully outlined book for us. It tells us when it's time to move on from the previous context to start a new one. And chapters 12, 13, and 14 all go together as a single unit, primarily to show us how the church in Corinth was misusing the miraculous gifts of the first century. They had these gifts that they could perform, these miracles that they could do to confirm that they were true followers of God, to facilitate learning and spreading of the gospel. And in chapter 12, he discusses in detail how, although those Christians had different abilities in a miraculous sense, they were all unified by God who gave them those gifts. So in chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, we call this the enumeration of the gifts. Specifically, if you look in verses 8, 9, and 10, you find all the abilities that you could perform in the first century listed out for us to know what they could do. So chapter 12 deals with the enumeration of the gifts. Chapter 13 shows the duration or how long those gifts would be around. And chapter 14 talks about the regulation behind using those gifts because they were being misused by those Christians. So what we're finding here, verses 1 through 11 of chapter 12, again, the enumeration of these gifts were given to be able to show them that although they were divided into different camps in this church based on what they could do, they should have been unified because God gave all of them those differing abilities. Again, the kind of main point of this is in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit of God gave all of you these abilities. And although you may see different manifestations of that ability, you're all given this power by God. Now, obviously, we don't have those same abilities today. Again, looking in verses 8, 9, and 10, you have miraculous wisdom, miraculous knowledge, miraculous faith. You have gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, interpretation of tongues, speaking in different languages. All those abilities that we have today are not the same that they had back in the first century. So what's the point? The point is the way that Paul utilizes the idea of unification based on that illustration of us as the church being the body of Christ is still powerful for all of us today. So looking here into verse 12, let's look over into the actual text. Verses 12 and 13 talk about the idea of unity. So 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So the idea here is Paul is saying, think about your own physical body. You have different members, different body parts, don't you? Do you? Hopefully you do, okay? Eddie doesn't have any body parts. He shakes his head. Only thing he's lacking is hair on top of his head. Now he's got the hair to make up for it here. It's looking more like Ron as time goes on. You can see him just kind of becoming more manly. Anyway, stop picking on Eddie. Moving on. We have, I am recording this, unfortunately, so someone's going to hear that. If you don't know, we'll move on. Okay, so the idea is we have different body parts, but you're all one, right? You're not a bunch of different people, right? We have one hand, two hands, 1 foot, 2 feet. We have these different things, but we're all one person. All these things belong ultimately to Alan, right? That's the illustration. We look here in verse 12. We're all different parts of that body, but we're all one. So the same thing is true about the body of Christ. We all are different members, if you will, of his spiritual body, but we all should be one because we belong all to Christ. In verse 13, because by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and have all been made to drink into or from one Spirit. So all of us come from different backgrounds, right? Different educational levels, different economic status. The idea we all come from different places, but we're all one in Christ is what Paul is trying to get across here in verses 12 and 13 from the idea of unity. Now, verses 14 through all the way through 21 deal with the idea of diversity. We're all unified by the fact that we come from different backgrounds, but we're all in Christ as the church. But also, we're all a little bit different, aren't we? If we were all the same person, that'd be pretty boring, wouldn't it? All do one function, all do one things. Now, I like having feet, I like having hands, I like having a nose that sometimes works about 2 months out of the year. I like having different parts of my body that do different things, that I can experience different things. The same thing is true about the church. We're all different in the things that we do, the way that we function, because that's what the body needs. Verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member. We see member here in this text. Just think of the word part. That's the way I do it to make sure I'm thinking clearly here. It's not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, or the parts, each one of them in the body, just as he pleases. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. So here we see that there is a problem in Corinth. They are being divided based on what gifts they have, what abilities they can perform, and yet they are not unified in the body of Christ. That is a warning to all of us that as a church, as a congregation of the Lord's church, we need to be unified on we're all members of the Lord's body, but we don't all have the same function. And that's the illustration here, looking into the idea of diversity. Now, when talking about the body of Christ, and talking about how each of us have different roles to play, I often utilize this illustration to the chagrin of my mother, unfortunately. There was one incident I remember when I was a kid. I was going to be in the military, I thought, for a many number of years. So I wanted to get used to living on a cot. I had this idea that I'd be sleeping on a cot alone for the rest of my life. So we were at a thrift store, and I saw this old canvas and wood cot. And I bought it, and I took it home, and I wanted to refinish it. That was my goal. I was like maybe 10 or 11. So I was going to take the canvas off the top of this cot one day, to my great vast wisdom of refinishing cots. And there were these metal rusted staples all the way around holding this canvas on. So, of course, I got the best prying tool I could find, which was a giant buck knife that my dad let me use. So I had this rusted buck knife that was about 4 inches long in the blade. And I was going to use that guy and pry the staples out and pull that canvas off to refinish it. Well, my cousin Derek was right there watching me do all this, so I had a witness that I wasn't that dumb. So I grabbed the cot and I used the edge of that knife and got that blade up underneath the staple, and then I pried it, and when I did, the blade cut my hand right here. And I've never been cut really bad. I've had nicks from sharpening knives and things, but I can see the scar right here. I cut myself. I knew it was bad when I dropped the knife and then just kind of panicked for a split second. There was a moment where I wasn't sure if I hit a bone or not. So then I knew, okay, this is not going to be good. Now, notice what my hands are doing up here. When I cut myself, what did this hand do? Was sat back over here and laughed its head off because his other hand was now out of the running for being best hand, right? No. My hand immediately went to try and close that wound. I was okay. It wasn't that bad. Now, but I my hand immediately closed that wound to try and stop whatever bleeding there was going to be, and there was a good bit. But my hand supported my other hand when it was wounded, when it was weak. Now, obviously, the illustration is this, brethren. We're all different body parts, if you will, of the body of Christ. We all have different roles to play, different things that we do. But when one of us is hurting, our natural gut reaction should immediately be to be there to support that other member who needs us. When someone's rejoicing and having a great time, we should want to be there as well to support them, to encourage them, and rejoice in their reason for having joy in their lives. So when Paul, through inspiration, uses the body part argument for the unification of the body of Christ, the church, it's a beautifully crafted illustration because we get it. We understand it. I've hit my thumb with a hammer trying to get a nail. I have screwed through almost through my finger with a rusty screw one day trying to make a tree for it. I had a little girl throw a tomahawk at my head when I first met her when I moved to our rural county of Gloucester, Virginia, coming from the city of Pocosin, Virginia. It was an interesting learning experience. I was a kid who was given, here was my plan, don't do this. My plan was to tell each of my parents what I wanted for Christmas. They would both buy it independently, then I'd pick my favorite to use. That was my plan. It worked great for 1 year until they communicated about what I asked for. So I got a compound bow from my dad, and I got a recurve bow from my mom, and I shot these bows, you know, as a kid. And it was great. One day, I decided I was going to just aim up into the sun and just let this arrow go and see where it landed. I think about that now. It's so dumb. It was the dumbest idea I've ever thought of. I did about 3 or 4 times. I'm like, wait, I can't see the arrow come down. What if it hits me in the head? I should probably stop. Anyway, the illustration is I've hurt myself a lot, and not once has my other body part rejected me entirely because something went wrong. And something is always going to go wrong, isn't it? So here in this text, looking again towards the third area, verses 22 through 24, this shows the idea of modesty. We had unity, we had diversity, and we had modesty. The idea of this, verses 23 through 24, is there are some body parts that we don't just openly present to everyone we meet. Hopefully not, right? There are some things that deserve a sense of modesty and discretion. We're all wearing clothes, thankfully, so you understand there are some things that you don't want everyone to see. Now, that's a very interesting illustration that Paul utilizes because he's talking not about our physical body primarily, but the spiritual body. There are some members, there are some parts of our congregation that have their role that you're not going to see all the time. Now, there are a few folks here that I think very fondly of, and my goal is by no means to embarrass you if you happen to know what role you play in the body. But I want to share with you some things that you may not know that are done just around the building here, throughout the week, that you may take for granted, which they don't ask for our praise or our thanks, but it's their role that they do to contribute towards the work of Christ. There is someone who is here almost every single week, who takes care of just the little flower bed out there when you walk outside those steps. Arranges the mulch, takes care of the flowers, waters them when necessary. It's a small little thing that we may not pay attention, don't look at her, who you may not notice, but someone is here taking care of that flower bed. There is someone here who every single week comes just to sharpen the pencils in the back of the pew, arrange the member and guest cards, and to make sure the Bibles and songbooks are in their proper order. I used to do that because it would drive me crazy in Charlestown when I would come here and everything was just a wreck. But here it's always straight, always organized, always well prepared for visitors because someone takes time out of their busy life to come and do that for the church. There's a family here that sends me more cards than I have ever gotten in my life. I've gotten cards for absolutely everything, and I love it when I check that mailbox and I see a little card from that family because it shows me that they care about me, they love me, and they want to encourage me. Now, you may not know those things are being done, but they're being done. And they're modest about it, but they're important because that's the function that they choose to have in the body of Christ at this location. There are so many more things that I don't even know about that are being done for the work of Christ in this area, in this congregation. So the point from verses 22 through 24 is the idea that sometimes God has members of his body which are more modest than others. Not everyone will stand up here and speak for 30 minutes. But there are a lot of folks that talk to their friends, their loved ones, their neighbors in private about the gospel. It's a very important function that we all play. Now, the application. The application for all of this really boils down to verse 25. If there is a key passage for this entire chapter, it's verse 25. Here's the context from verse 24. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given it greater honor to that part which lacks it. And here's the point, that there be no schism or no division in the body, but that the member should have the same care one for another. Every member should care about the other members of the body. We often use the phrase, almost kind of conditionally, are you a member of the congregation? And we don't mean that like a membership. Have you paid your dues this year? Do you have your little barcode that we can scan? We say, are you a member of this congregation? Meaning, are you a part of what we do? Are you contributing to the cause that we're all united under the banner and the headship of Christ towards his purpose? Are you a member? Are you contributing towards the work that we're doing in this community? And that's the main idea behind verses 12 through 25. And to kind of give you a preface for Lord willing next week, let's look on to verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of languages. And here's the question about that, verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer, of course, is no. Not everyone has that particular role to play in the work or the function of the body of Christ. And then verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And that more excellent way, Lord willing, we'll talk about next Sunday morning. And that's the entirety of chapter 13. For this morning, I want to encourage you to know that the Bible talks about the church in a variety of ways. The kingdom, those who are called out, the vineyard of God, and even talking about the body of Christ shows a very applicable illustration to see how the church functions. We all are unified by the body of Christ, the same spirit that inspired these words, inspired us to know that we can become members of that body. Now, we have diversity in our backgrounds and in our function, but ultimately we are to be unified under the banner of Christ. If you want to be a member of the body of Christ, of the church, you have to be a faithful Christian. You have to hear the word of God. You have to believe it. You have to repent of your sins, confess Christ as Lord, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. According to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 47, when you do that, the Lord adds you to his church or to his body. And then we can get to work for the kingdom of God here on this earth. If anyone has a need to come forward to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, or if you're a member of the body and you want to change your function, become more effective, become more effective in the work that you do for the kingdom here, please come forward now. Stand and we sing.